Hello everyone, welcome to the Psychology of Dating podcast. I'm your host Nadine Newkirk and I'm a clinical psychologist and dating coach. For today's episode, I want to talk to you about mind reading and dating. Before I jump into the content, I'd really appreciate if you could do a star or written review on the podcast hosting site that you're on. Maybe it's Apple, maybe it's Spotify, maybe it's another one. That really helps the podcast get some visibility and just spread the dating news to everyone. Also, to remind you that I have a free guide called Top 3 Mindset Shifts in Dating, and you can access that via the episode show notes. Okay, mind reading and dating. So I thought about this episode when I had an incident with a neighbor. And what happened is my mind assumed what the neighbor had been thinking, and I then made all these judgments about his personality. I thought this literally for nearly 2 years until I had some more concrete information recently, which really completely changed again how I viewed this neighbor. And it made me think how in dating that happens so often. It happens when you're using the apps, it happens when you're on initial dates or when you're in the early stages of dating or a relationship, that your mind can jump into someone else's mind, well, think it can, and it makes up all these kinds of thoughts that that person is thinking, and then that can change your entire experience of dating them. So let me get a little bit more concrete. The incident with my neighbor. What happened was I'm at a building where you have these outside car parks and they're just divided by these yellow lines. They're not too wide, so you really want to be, it's parking in the middle of the line so there's enough space either side. And what happened was the neighbor next to me was parking his car directly, like it wasn't over my line, but it was like, touching it or like a few centimeters from it and more space on the other side of him. And that really irritated me because if someone else was in the passenger seat of the car, they had to get out or in after I pulled out. If you had any bags or anything on that side, then that was really difficult. And I was assuming that the neighbor was thinking, oh, it's just easier for me if I park closer to here, so I'm going to do that. I was assuming that they're not considering, their neighbors at all, that they're disrespectful. And then I made these judgments about his personality, that he's rude, he doesn't care, he's not a likable person. Every time I saw the car, I just feel irritated and angry. And I also never bumped into this neighbor, so I kept thinking I'm going to ask him to move, but I just never got around to like knocking on the door. And fast forward 2 years later, I've been thinking this thought every time I park the car, which, it's a lot of times in 2 years. And then recently with having a baby, it became even more of an issue because the baby seat has to be on the side of the car where there wasn't much access with the way that he parked. So I bumped into him as he had just parked his car and I said, hey, can you move the way that you park? Can you park close in the lines? And he explained apologetically that the car on the other side of him, the other neighbor, has a baby. And therefore, that's why he was parking more to my side to leave room for them to get their child out. And that just generally these car parks, there was this flow on effect for the neighbor after them, couldn't get out because there was these bushes. And that completely shifted the way I thought about this neighbor. It turned from, basically, this is a disrespectful, rude, kind of evil neighbor who doesn't care about anyone to, oh, this is someone who actually was trying to do a kind thing for someone who has a baby, which then I understood now having a baby. So that would really shift and change the way that you interact with someone as well, and the way that you might do body language or engage with him in conversation. If I just stayed with my assumptions and reading his mind of what I thought he was thinking about the parking, then I might kind of not make eye contact or say hello in the hallway, stairwells. I might, not go out of my way to, go to a neighborly event Sometimes every year the neighbors have an event in the back common area. So this could have a flow-on effect to my experience, the way that I think. And, you know, it's like a butterfly effect. It might be this one thought that your brain has made up that the other person is thinking, and it could change a whole sequence of events. So what we want to do when we're dating is to not assume what someone is thinking. We want to check the facts. We want to actually clarify with someone, and we want to give people chances instead of cutting them off really abruptly. What are some examples of when we can mind read in dating? It can happen using the apps. Maybe someone hasn't written very long answers in the chat. They only write kind of, you know, a sentence or a few words. And then you might think that they're thinking, this person's not worth writing to. You know, I can't be bothered to, you know, write any kind of long caring messages for them. And then you assume that they're kind of disrespectful or don't like you, or you're never going to have an interesting conversation with them. And this might then influence whether you want to reply to them or whether you do it fast. This might then lead to a fizzle effect on the conversation, and you don't even get to go on a date with this person and check out actually how it was. Because just because someone writes short in messages does not actually always translate. Sometimes people can be really great conversationalists, and, you know, match your conversation style on a date, and it might be different to messaging. Or maybe there's some judgments about what the person's thinking based on their images. So you might see someone with dorky shorts in all their photos on the apps, and you think that they are thinking, you know, anyone who dresses up is snobby and I can't be bothered to do that, I don't care. And you might think, oh, I could never take them to meet my parents or go to a wedding with them. And again, make all these snap judgments when maybe, yeah, this person loves these dorky shorts. And also they might have thoughts like, yeah, if it's important to my partner, I want to dress up. And, you know, you go to a wedding in tuxedo. It could also, the mind reading could also happen on initial dates. You might assume if someone's quiet that they're being rude and they're having thoughts that, you know, you're not worthy of their time, they can't be bothered to talk to you, when maybe actually they might just be really nervous. Maybe they're talking a lot on the date and you're getting cut off and you think that they're thinking, oh, your stories are boring, when actually, again, maybe they could be really nervous and in future dates they might, you know, share the conversation a bit more. That actually happened to my friend with her now husband on their initial date, and it did change over time. Or maybe you're in early stages of a relationship and your partner comes home and you're struggling to do something on the computer and you're acting all stressed and they haven't offered to help, and then your mind makes up what they're thinking, and they're thinking, oh, you know, blah, blah is always stressed and this annoys me, so I'm purposely not going to offer them help. When maybe actually they just don't realize what your needs are and they're really happy to help if you ask. So now that we know that mind reading might not be so helpful in dating, what is some ways where you can reduce the negative effects of this? So step number one, being mindful of your thoughts. The first step to any change is to be aware of what's there. And our thoughts, sometimes we're not aware of them, we're just blindly following them. They're, you know, our thoughts influence our emotions and then our urges and our actions and the behaviors that we do. And if you, sometimes it's like we're acting like it's completely pitch black dark, like you've got a room full of furniture and the lights are off, and you're trying to rearrange all the furniture, but you're bumping into everything and tripping over and actually getting more tangled. So to be able to notice and manage your thoughts, it's better to turn the light on first and then rearrange the furniture. Mindfulness techniques. If you want any, you can jump into some of my prior podcast episodes. I do one specifically on the 6 core mindfulness skills. The second step to manage mind reading and dating is to be able to catch any thought where you are thinking of what others are thinking. A bit of a mind, a mouthful. So basically, if you at any point are thinking of what someone else is thinking, remind yourself it's not the truth, because you can never jump into someone else's mind. If you can, then, you know, you would be a billionaire. That whenever we're thinking what someone else is thinking, it's actually just our thought. We're making up what they're thinking. We're making an assumption. We are having our own judgments and pretend, you know, it's being projected that it's theirs. So when you notice that your mind is thinking that, the first step is just to remind yourself that you can't jump into someone else's head. You don't know exactly what they're thinking. There are billions of types of thoughts someone could be thinking. If I tell all you listeners now, what am I thinking in this moment? Okay. Now, if anyone guesses this, please reach out and let me know. I was imagining in my mind a little green tree frog? I can't remember the word. A green frog on the top of my laptop with a hula hoop. And yeah, they were spinning the hula hoop. So that's what I was thinking. So you could have been a shoey. I could have been thinking a myriad of things. And maybe you guessed it right. Sometimes on occasion you might actually guess what someone's thinking, but the majority of the time you won't be. So remind yourself that this is just your thought. And sometimes even just doing that is enough. It then helps us to open up and not be so judgmental of others. The third step is to be able to, one, either clarify what someone else is thinking. Maybe you noticed someone you're dating frown when you suggested going out for pizza, and you're assuming they don't want to eat that at all. So you quickly go to say, oh, no, actually, I want to eat Thai. And instead of doing that, you can jump in and label what you noticed. Hey, I noticed you just frowned there. Are you not so interested in pizza? Would you like to eat something else? And just check in with them. Check the facts. The other thing you can do is directly ask for your needs. Instead of assuming someone else already knows and, you know, jumping to conclusions about what they're thinking. So that example of if someone's in a relationship and they're stressed doing something on the computer and their partner's come home and isn't helping and they're thinking that they know that they want help, it's better to actually jump in and say, hey, I'm feeling so stressed. Can you jump over here and help me? And it can feel uncomfortable sometimes to directly ask for what you need, but it really, it's like you're traveling, you know, through a jungle, and there might be a really direct path to the treasure you want to get to, a nice boardwalk, and it cuts directly across the landscape. Or you could go this roundabout way where you get bogged down in sand, or you're, you know, having to walk in circles for a bit. That can happen if you just want someone to exactly know what you're thinking as well. If you want some help with directly asking for your needs, asserting yourself, you can check out one of my prior podcast episodes called Dear Man Script, and that is a clear script on how to assert yourself. Okay, everyone, it was lovely to be back again today, and I hope you all have a lovely day or night wherever you are.